Hi, this is Diego Curmudgeon. My guest today is, oh, I'm going to mispronounce this, Debbie. Debbie Zacharias, a well-known San Francisco wine merchant and wine bar owner, innovator. And she's going to on the podcast today to talk to me about what's going on during the duration. Debbie, thank you so much for doing this. And I promise not to screw up your name more than two or three more times.
No problem. Pleasure to meet you.
So talk to us a little bit about one of the things that the readers have been really interested about is what other parts of the in other parts of the country, what your customers are buying, if you're doing more delivery, more curbside pickup, just some of the changes you've seen over the last 6-8 weeks.
Sure. Well, in the beginning of the shutdown, which was March 15th for California, for San Francisco, there was a mad rush to buy any and everything people could get their hands on and fill up their pantries, their cellars. It was really something, and it was everything selling. I think, you know, the budget was something in the neighborhood of $15 to $30 a bottle, and it was kind of across the board. Our customers are a little bit less into, you know, classic Chardonnay and Cabernet, and I think even Sauvignon Blanc has kind of fallen away from favor at the moment in exchange for a little bit more unique varieties. So a lot of Italian whites, a lot of Albarinos. Interestingly, one trend that has gotten me perplexed from the very beginning of this pandemic until now is that I can't keep white Burgundy in stock at all price points. And especially like even in the, you know, $40 to $90 price point, I feel like I'm constantly chasing white Burgundy. And, you know, we're pretty particular about white Burgundy. So I do have to chase it because I'm not willing to just sell somebody, you know, a mediocre $70 bottle of white Burgundy.
That must be a hell of a customer demographic you got if they're buying $90 white Burgundy.
There's definitely a demographic for that. And maybe it's just a few people buying a lot, but it's sort of just fascinating that has been, you know, such a popular category for us. The other interesting thing is because we now, in Ferry Plaza Wine Merchant in particular, which is the kind of the mothership, we didn't let people past the front counter. So we blocked people from the store, and everybody who walked in made it as far as the front counter, and we'd ask them what they're interested in and what their price point is. And really what happened there was an interesting phenomenon because it meant that everybody was getting one-on-one customer service, and everybody was having a dialogue with our wine buyers and wine managers about what they wanted. So we would then make suggestions based on what we love. So it really kind of showed what we're all about. And I think that's where we match what people want with what we love. But, you know, most people are saying, well, I want a crisp aromatic white. So, you know, that leads us to, you know, parts of Italy or sometimes Alsace or Grüner Veltliners. And, you know, and sometimes really good value white Burgundies. We also, in the beginning, it's kind of tapered off a little bit. And again, I have no idea the rationale behind this one, but people were buying a lot of champagne. And maybe they were celebrating the fact that they didn't have to go into work every day. But we found ourselves depleting champagne really quickly.
That's amazing because most, and you've seen most of the statistics and most of the people, the retailers that I've talked to, a lot of purchases lower end, and especially Vinho Verde. And here you're telling me, maybe that's just San Francisco. Maybe that tech bubble is still there.
You know, we have three different locations, and we actually have different demographics in each. So this one is in particular Ferry Plaza Wine Merchant, which I think has a little bit more of a mature clientele and a lot of business people, and a lot of people who have been buying from us for a long time. And then if we move over to our newest location, which is Mission Bay Wine and Cheese in Mission Bay, it's a very, very young clientele. We were hardly selling any champagne there. And a good part of what we were selling, again, were a lot of Italian whites, And, you know, in each location, we have a 12 and under section, you know, you can go up to like 15 and under. And the Mission Bay location, before the pandemic, the locals who were shopping there was two demographics. One were a lot of the hospital workers and the people who work for Lyft and Uber. And the other were the residents in the various very expensive condos around us. And the residents in the very expensive condos around us, again, they would come into the store and they'd say, oh, I'm going to dinner tonight. Can I have like a $100 bottle of blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, okay, awesome. Those were the ones who actually downgraded their price points because I think they were drinking every day. They weren't going out to friends' houses on the weekend. All of a sudden, it was an everyday phenomenon. And they changed their price points more to that like $15 to $20 price point where they would just come in after, you know, some, a lot of them were still working and they'd grab something to drink and it could be a great rosé or whatever it might be. A lot of spirits. We have a big spirit selection at Mission Bay. So we were seeing a big increase in spirits and beer for sure. But it became a more everyday kind of price point for that group. And then our Napa location, you know, is half locals, which are mostly in the wine industry, and half visitors. And since we lost the visitor clientele, which we're buying a lot of the California wines, it gave us a much more, you know, worldly clientele, you know, most locals who wanted to buy, again, either, you know, some beers or wines that they couldn't get locally. So a lot of imports.
So what you're telling me, and again, this is not something that I've heard this many times before, but you're telling me that in your California retail locations, you're not selling necessarily more California wine.
No. You know, it's California producers that we love, and a lot of, you know, locals will buy them. But I would say it's very specific for what California locals will buy. And, you know, when before the pandemic, a lot of the locals were drinking a lot of Pinot Noir. But again, you know, they'd come into the bars, the wine bars, and they had no problem, you know, spending $15 or $20 for a glass of really good American Pinot Noir. But when the buy the glass category went away, it meant that they were buying bottles. And all of a sudden, you know, rather than buying the $40 bottle of Pinot Noir, they're buying the $25 bottle of Etna Rosso. So I think that, you know, they adjusted their buying to maybe give them more wine for the money. You know, one of my favorite producers in California whose allocations all came out in the middle of the pandemic is Jolie Lade, and they do, you know, rosé and whites and reds, and they range from, you know, the high 20s to the low 40s. And I really feel like those wines are so fascinating and delicious and over-deliver for the price point, and the packaging is gorgeous. And so, you know, if it's something that we want to champion, like Unti, you know, love Mick Unti's wines, then sure, we're going to sell a lot of them. But trying to stay in that price point often brings us all over the place and not always to California.
So what do you see happening as everything starts to open up? Are we going to go back to $100 a bottle wines? Because one of the most fascinating things to me about all this is the wine business was facing some problems before it all started. And I'm talking to people trying to figure out which direction is the wine business going with the baggage that it was carrying before this. How do you see that?
Again, it's a really interesting question because we have such a diverse population of buyers in the various locations that it's almost hard for me to say that there's a specific trend. I think what the trend might be for the Bay Area is you have a level of people who are often more educated on wine and more exposed to, you know, various types of wine. So they're going to spend the money on a bottle of wine if it is if it's the right, if it's worth it, you know, I mean, you know, people are not, you know, just arbitrarily going out and buying $100 bottles of California Cabernet when they know that they can maybe get something just as good for half the price, whether it's from California or whether it's from someplace else. But that trend started quite a while ago. So I think that what you're seeing are just buyers who are more savvy, know what they want more, have evolved, and are willing also to take recommendations. I mean, through all of this, where people can't just go into a store and grab a bottle of wine off the shelf, it means that they have to engage and they have to either educate themselves or become more educated about what they're buying. So I think in many ways it's allowed people to try things that they've never had before. And I did a lot, I'm still doing a lot of it, of curating cases. And I will just say to somebody, okay, tell me what kind of mix you want, red, white, sparkling, rosé, what's the average price point, what do you like, and then put things together. And they've all started these like Facebook groups and added me to them. And I see what they like. And it's, you know, again, I'm selling a lot of sparkling wine in that $20 to $30 price point, and people are coming back like crazy for them because they realize, again, you know, if you curate that selection and you get really good quality, there's some spectacular things to be drunk in that $20 to $35 price point. And, you know, right now, because the weather is getting a little bit warmer and we've opened up all three of our locations for to-go glasses of wine in a, you know, a cup with a lid, which we can do in California now. By far it is, again, sparkling rosé is maybe our number one SKU, followed by still rosé and a crisp white.
And that's just so un-American wine consumer.
Yeah.
Over the last decade.
To be Chablis. So we'll pour Chablis at Ferry Plaza Wine Merchant, but when we tried Chardonnay, it didn't really sell so well.
Yeah, that's why I think whatever happens, it's going to be some really weird stuff, some weird stuff coming out of this. Listen, thank you so much. I really appreciate you doing this. Debbie Zacharias, yeah, I did it. I only did it one more time. Thank you so much, Ferry Plaza Wine Merchant in San Francisco and two other stores in the Bay Area. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.